Good morning once again. This is Dr. Pavario. And this leads us to our third chapter. The chapter which talks about the basic concepts of projects and various project types. Now, when we're going to talk about basic concepts, what is going to be our learning objectives to understand very distinctively the basic concepts of projects, various aspects of projects, difference between projects and business methodologies or operating methodologies, and last is the classification of various projects on basis of its purpose, on its objective, on its size, duration, financial requirements, and a lot of other things. So let's look at what is a project. Now, this project, this definition comes from Project Management Professional Book of Knowledge. And that's something which gives us the project definition. It says it's a one-time temporary endeavor undertaken to create a unique product, service, or result. The temporary nature, of course, and project are very distinctively indicates that the project has a definite start and an end. If you remember my first chapter or the second chapter, I've been talking about that it starts and it ends. So anything that starts and ends is a project. Temporary doesn't necessarily refer to the duration of the project. It is, of course, has other parameters as well, and we'll be exploring those parameters in the further chapters for you. Now, this takes us from the definition. Let's look at what the outcome of the project. The outcome of the project is, the outcome of the project is not temporary. Rather, most projects are undertaken to create a lasting outcome. It comes last from centuries in some cases. Example, new model of a car, dam irrigation project, or golden quadrangle project for road networks that's currently going in the country, or national monuments, or historical efforts that have been taken. So to give you an example, Taj Mahal that we have, was it gives a long-lasting effect even today. It is something as a historical effort that's been created, and people still would presume would want to preserve it, and it has significance in itself while it's going around. Uncertainties and deviations in a project outcome. The routine activities are repetitive processes, and that's exactly what gets actually into operations, and are executed as per organizational existing procedures or SOPs. When I say SOPs, we're talking standard operating procedures that should happen. So let me give you an example. To build up an organization, it's important that its employees work in discipline. When we say discipline, which means that everybody would want you to come on time and leave on time. So it's 9 to 6, and that's a standard operating procedure. You don't deviate that procedure when you're working in an organization. Whereas, because of the unique nature of the project, there may be some uncertainties during execution of the project, leading to deviations to the output. Product, services, and results delivered at various stages of the project. Most of these can be corrected at the cost of duration. That's one element where it will get affected, or it would get affected at the cost where few and many are irreversible. Now, when we say irreversible, we say that once a time is consumed, it is consumed. You just can't do anything about it. Right, so hence planning becomes an integral part of the project. Unfortunately, a lot of project managers get a victim of lack of planning, and that's exactly where they either overshoot the time or overshoot the budget in terms of its money or in terms of its finances. But a lot of projects get delayed. To give you a few examples, typically in India, a lot of dam projects, the power plant projects or dam projects, just because of getting delayed, have exponentially cost money to Indian government. So, and we keep hearing about this a lot into our news as well. Project planning and organization, because of the uniqueness, there are many, or there may be new or first time activities which necessitate the necessaries more detailed or meticulous planning. So when we say about this, what do we mean actually? We're talking about, in a project, though it might be similar, there would be two or three or maybe 10 for that matter, activities which are completely unique and they require a lot of work to be done meticulously and planned meticulously, because those can be the activities that are actually delay your project or let you cost more money around it. Since project execution involves many complex activities and many parallel activities, project teams must be supported by various functions at all levels of the organization. So, what do we mean by all levels of the organization? If we all are aware of the organogram, it might start from an officer and it might reach to a CEO. Depending on how important is the project weaved in the organizational value or weaved into the goals of the organization, the seriousness of that project is there in an organization. So supposedly if it has a direct impact on the organizational goal, everybody including the CEO or the managing director would be involved into that project and would require day-to-day updates around it. However, if it's a project that's not having a direct effect, maybe the head of department would be involved into it and he or she would drive that project. For efficient and effective execution of the project, the project teams must be cross-functional. Now, what do we mean by cross-functional? I, like I said, I'm a project manager, or tomorrow you're going to be a project manager, but that does not mean that you know everything. Right, so it's important that you work with cross-functional teams, which means a philosophical statement says that a right man for right job. So while you might lead the project, there might be experts from every department that you would require to execute that project, and that's exactly one of the skills that a project manager requires, is to influence people in various departments to work towards the correct objective or the objective that's been decided. Factors such as targeted outputs of the project, duration, cost, impact, also shall be considered while you planning your project. So whether it is cost, whether it is time, whether it is impact on who are the people, what is the method that's going to get impacted, what is the process that's going to get impacted, what are the environmental things that are going to get affected if I run this project, should always be considered while I'm planning. Project cycle time, the project duration will be defined considering the complexity, of course, because unless I completely relate to how the project is going to go and I have my buffer in place, the life cycle of a project cannot be defined. Final outcome of the project need to early completion of the project, or whether there is a finance requirement of the project. All of these have to be planned during my planning process, and that creates my project cycle time. A project once started will reach to an end after what? Under these are very, very important points that I need to realize, that once the objective is achieved, once I get the target that I have decided for this project is achieved, or the project is terminated. The stakeholders, typically a lot of projects get terminated because the stakeholders lose interest. The moment you lose interest in a project, it is terminated, or the stakeholders don't pay attention to that project. What could be integral processes or reasons why they get terminated? One is that's not the objective now of the organization, or that is not something that the project manager was able to execute, or it's not giving the relevant desired results, or it's an experiment and organization is okay to terminate it. The need of the project does not exist now, and that's exactly what I was talking about. It does not, it's not relevant to the objectives or of the organization. Project can create a product which may, for example, be a component of another item, an example right now given the slide, which says fuel injection system for an engine. So the basic concept of project or what it would create, it ideally can create a product or a service for you know, a bigger chunk of a project, so, or a product. So what do I mean by this? One of the best examples that I keep giving around is a fuel injection pump that's created for an engine. So engine is a product, and fuel injection pump is an integral part of an engine, and that can lead to a project because efficiency of my engine depends upon how critically my fuel pump is made and my fuel injection system is made. So because the fuel injection system is going to directly affect the average and the maintenance of my vehicle, so it's an integral part of the engine system, and hence that's one of the projects. An improved version of an item, so let me give an example, improved version of a car or maybe an improved version of your WhatsApp or an integral version of your Facebook, or the versions that you get on Microsoft or the PowerPoints that we give. So improved version becomes a project, and that can create a product. On final item, a product itself, missile launch of a vehicle. So that's something which is itself is a complete product, you know. So which we in a couple of months back, we did this on Mars. You know, the cheapest travel to be on Mars. So that's one of the project that has created a product in itself. We move on, and a project can create what? You know, it can, as I said, it can create a service. So but to perform better, to give a better customer experience, improvements. One of the examples that I keep giving is about Kaizen, continuous improvement processes that will help me to use my services or my products by my customers on a regular basis. Or they become a part of my consumer's life, for which I need to continuously keep improving them. Similarly, examples around it could be the Six Sigma that we undertake and undertaking to reduce the defects. So one of the best that I keep giving examples around is the Mumbai Dabawalas. I mean, amazing amount of accuracy in the process, and they've improved over a period of time, and they've given great customer experiences, and that's exactly why they've actually got into Guinness books and you know, they've reached the Sigma around 9.99. So that's a great accuracy in the kind of machine tools or manpower that they use. The low cost, one of the best projects to understand is the Mumbai Dabawalas project. For example, such an outcome or a document, example, a research product that develops a medical research paper, knowledge document that can be used to treat patients. Or a new approach of diagnosis. So that's something. So people, you know, 15 years back, cancer was not to be treated. Today we have treatment for cancer, and that's exactly what is called as continuous improvement on the similar treatment, which will help you to diagnose the patients fine. And today we're curing cancer as well. So these are projects that you can take. That's what happens if you have continuous improvements over a project. What are different project types and classifications? It's based on ownership. Who's the owner of the project? And when I say owner of the project, it could be the managing director, CEO, it could be head of the department, it could be the government, it could be a social awareness institutes who are there, it could be NGOs. Those can be the owners of any project. Classification of the projects is based on the duration. So whether it's a long-term project, it's a short-term project, or it's a middle-term project where it gets completed in next 2 years or 10 years or 20 years or 25 years. And then that's how duration sector. So a lot of it depends on what kind of sector you work for in the project. So if you're working for an oil and gas company, very seldom projects would get over in a year's time. They would apparently run not less than 3 or 4 years, 5 years on one improvement process. So similarly, if you move on to textile industry, or if you move on to manufacturing industries, the duration or the sector plays a very, very important role. Similarly, if I have go to IT companies, and then there are projects which are very, very minimal duration that's required, and they finish very fast. Classification on basis of project outcome. So when I say classification on basis of project outcome, what do I mean by that? You know, so that's if you remember my example which I spoke about, that if it is not directly linked to the goal or the vision of the organization, however it is indirectly impacting it, then maybe at the organogram, HOD or general manager takes care of that project. But if it is, you know, important, as crucial, you know, crucial as it's impacting the direct vision of the organization, the CEOs and the MDs and everybody around would get you know, involved into it. And that is what we're talking about. It is classified into business outcomes. Some more projects and you know, classification based on project ownership. Globally, the first specification is based on government or non-government projects. So whether it is a government project, typically like a project is owned by the central government or the federal government or the state government or local bodies. I mean, you have these cleanliness programs that happen at local levels. You have the women empowerment programs that are happening nationally. We have these projects which talk about Swachh Bharat today are about, you know, about taken care from the centrally. Indian projects or state projects which you're talking about could lead to something that is happening on the roads. Flyovers that are getting built are basically state projects. Government projects, most of the government projects are public interest. I mean, at least we assume them to be as public interest. Primary objective of all these projects is to generate infrastructure. I mean, to make the place where you're living and staying and performing better. For people in the country and create conducive atmosphere, environment for social, agriculture, financial and industrial development in the country. Government may execute these projects with its own resources or finance, or it gets into a private sector. So it's a public-private partnership. Agencies, industrial houses, corporates, and that's exactly where we see a lot of corporates getting into these projects, where it's a public partnership with, you know, private-public partnership. So one of an example that I can immediately give you is the passport system in India, which was completely owned by Government of India, and now the entire execution is given to TCS as a company who executes the entire passport system in India today. And because that's been done, we see passports coming in 45 days today. Before that, of course, because it requires a huge amount of infrastructure, the public partnership is now, private-public partnership is now helping the government to execute projects and to reduce the delivery time for the end consumer or for people staying in the country. Earning or maximizing the profit is not the only objective in these government projects, and that's precisely because at least in this part of the world where we live, we have people who come from farming background, and a lot of projects are happening for the rural part of our country as well. Basic concepts of projects and various types of projects. Few examples as mentioned on the slide. It's the Koyna Dam in Maharashtra or the Bhakra Nangal Dam. The famous Mumbai Pune Express is a great example of a project which is done by the government. Indira Gandhi International Airport or you know, that's the new airports that have been created in Hyderabad, Delhi, Mumbai, Bangalore. These projects, you know, Konkan Railway, again, one of very, very unique project that was done by railways. Long-term missiles built for defense, you know, oil exploration projects, gas gathering stations in Assam, or Golden Triangle, quadrangle that's getting created between the four metros, which are actually connecting all the metros of basically the four major metros of India. The Ganga Jamuna River cleaning project, you know, so because we've seen that it's actually got dirty. So the Bharatpur bird sanctuary or the Jaitapur Atomic Research Center or the power project, Indraprastha Stadium in Delhi. So these are projects that are run by government, and lot of more that's coming up. I think we listening to them a lot on radio and television nowadays. Classification on project based on duration, as I've given you this example, it could be a short term, it could be a long term, or it could be a midterm project. Short-term projects, what we mean by that? A short-term project are short durations, which ranges between even a week sometimes or 6 months. You know, the team size may be small and individuals. These projects are generally in nature such as small improvement processes. So I've been talking about the Kaizen process or your projects that are happening on Six Sigma as well. So small projects which will work out faster, improve standards, improve procedures, generating database, improving sales for the organization. Short term projects, immediate results and improvements around it. Medium terms would be anything between 6 months and 24 months. When I'm giving you these months, it is just based on experiences. So not ideally, these are not ideal figures, but these are optimized figures that I'm giving you right now. The team size will be depending on the complexity of the medium project. So I have given an example where I have seen in medium term projects where a lot of HODs get involved into this. The example of such projects of construction or building, developing a new product, and that's exactly where it is getting into a medium term project, because developing a building is a medium, but if you look at developing a city, then it becomes a long term project. So something like Lavasa becomes a long term project. These are projects where the duration ranges from 24 to 60 months, which is close to 5 years now, which means in fact that's exactly what I gave you an example of Lavasa, which is the city that's been created, whether it's the it's taken more than 5, 7, 8 years to build that. The team size will vary depending on complexities and at what level do you require people at what stages or phases of the project that you require people at. So people will keep changing in that project as well. So complexity, nature, site of the project, there may be multiple teams working on the project, multiple locations, and at multiple times. So it would run in a parallel mode. So in a project like Lavasa, the construction, the environmental things, the road formation, the cleaning of the river, all was going together because they have the deadline of whatever. Time that they've decided. So construction of a dam, construction of an airport, construction of oil and gas exploration, or facilities, railway lines, expansion of existing business. Now these are long-term projects. Considering a long-term duration, the risk lies in delay in execution. Duration is exceeding over 60 months. The project is divided into phases there. And you've got to cut that down. I'm sure you have heard about if you want to eat an elephant, cut it into pieces, you can't gulp it totally, right? So projects similarly have to cut into pieces and the right man does the right job and they are done parallelly in most of the time to save time, because I told you right at the beginning that time is an integral aspect in today's business. So they are done parallelly. So though a project has 5 years of timeline, but a lot of project managers will work on one project parallelly, and they ideally report into a program manager who then drives the entire project. So they run parallelly is the idea of long-term projects, because if your time exceeds, your money exceeds. Now, or simultaneously with a lot of project teams and project coordination, and I've been saying this since right from chapter one, that project managers' real effort is about managing stakeholders, because if you don't manage stakeholders and if you're not effectively able to manage stakeholders, you are going to lie in some soup where your project is not going to be successful. So just a word of caution, always manage your stakeholders very well. This takes us to the classification on basis of project sector. I've been giving these examples, whether it's aviation, infrastructure, forest, IT projects, metal production, pharmaceuticals, oil and gas, agriculture, pollution, defense, automobile, or shipbuilding. This takes us to the last slide of this chapter, which talks about classification on basis of project outcomes. So facility development or making it its potential. For example, manufacturing plant constructed by Tata Nano. I've been talking about this in our last chapter also. The product service deployment. So example, nano car developed by Tata for specific customer segment. other would be service implementation or service improvement. Improved version of Alto K10 developed by Maruti Udyog. Or software, new local body tax collection system was created. So today we have a tax created, which you know you can file e-file and just pay your tax. Or the land revenue department in India made everything online. So today you can have your lot of documents which are related to your land on online. You know, so you just log on to some website and you get the details for yourself. So these are some projects that are based on outcome. And that exactly takes us to our fourth chapter. I'm very, very happy that we're moving very nicely. Every chapter is actually taking you closer to become a better project manager. And while you're listening to all these videos and e-learning methodologies, everything that we're talking, I request you to make notes of them so that you can refer it whenever you require. Thank you.